from Misinformation Podcast, and you're listening to Legend in My Spare Time with my good buddy Matt Leese. Live it, love it, eat it good.
Legend in my spare time.
Drag on, brother. Drag on.
This podcast contains certain themes and subject matter that may not be suitable for everybody listening. So, if you're easily offended or you're under the age of 21, we may suggest you get your podcast elsewhere.
Yo, what's up? It's Alex Tintinelli from Pocket City, and I'm here with Matt Lees from Legend in My Spare Time.
Traumas in the prima donnas wanna keep it going hot till the swag builds on us. People that got something to say who always get in the way, but a critical comments is like, oh my god, stay away. When they put you first, it gets worse. All I'm trying to do is get through my verse just to converse. See, the only concentrated on manipulation, whatever happened to patience or a reservation. He will let everybody's gonna go different ways. Anyways, whatever happened to ending up in the same place? Who leaves room to discriminate race? I don't know who came up with that in the first place. It's such a disgrace, so get out of my face. Face it, until then embrace it.
Swagger high till you touch the sky better. Recognize till you feel the high air. Hey! Oh! Hey! Oh! Swagger high till you touch the sky better. Recognize till you feel the high air. Hey!
I hit between the hopper, hippity hippity.
Hey!
Oh! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Welcome to Legend in My Spare Time, episode 16, man.
Is it the 1-6?
We are cooking.
16.0.
Wow.
Shit, yeah.
That means that somebody out there, somebody has listened to us for 16 hours, motherfucker.
Well, they've listened to you for 16
hours.
That's
fair. You've been here a little late.
I've been here since, what, 9?
So, yeah, that's fair. Not as long for you, but...
No.
That's fair.
Fair enough.
As you fuckers can probably tell, I'm suffering a cold, so I sound strange today. I sound funny because I'm suffering from a cold.
Yeah, it's the springtime cold, man. Seasons are changing.
I fucking hate having a cold, man. I feel like such a pussy when I have a cold. Like, I'd rather have some crazy infectious disease than the sniffles.
Than the sniffles.
I got a cold. No, my nose is runny.
You need echinacea and vitamin C.
I've been popping Tylenol cold for fucking 3 days, son.
That shit. You need echinacea. You need a lot of it.
Oh, dude. But the Tylenol cold gives you a nice little buzz for your day.
That it does. Kind of like a NyQuil.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's weird, though. And, you know, this may be a little too personal, but, you know, from guy to guy, I find it messes with my dangly bits.
How so?
Like, I find when I take, NyQuil, my nuts are kind of sore.
Really?
Like, I feel like I'm a little more tight down there and shit.
You're sensitive.
Like, I feel different down there when I'm taking, like, NyQuil or, you know, cold pills and stuff. It's really weird, man. I've only finally realized that it only happens that way if I'm taking cold pills. And then I'm like, why does it feel weird? You know, and that's not something I want to bring up to a doctor and be like, listen, doc, I've been popping NyQuil for 3 days and my nuts hurt. Is that normal?
Don't ever bring up anything to do with your testicles unless you're sure that there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I made the mistake once. Did I already tell you before?
I don't know.
Oh, my Lord. I made the mistake of, I was having kind of like a intermittent pain.
Right.
In my nuts. Just a little bit. You know, like every now and again, it was kind of like, man, they're sore and achy.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And every now and again, I get a bit of a stop. So I was kind of worried that maybe I had gotten a hernia.
Mm-hmm.
So I told the doc that, and then I was violated.
He grabbed your balls.
What he did with my nuts is not natural. I'm sure that the Geneva Convention has something on that. That's a fucking war crime.
Come on,
man.
What did he do to your balls?
He kneaded my balls like Play-Doh.
Like he just moved them around and squished them?
Like, and squished them.
Did he hurt them?
He pulled them and... No, that was the strange thing.
He knew what he was doing.
It was terrifying.
Oh, dude.
I broke out in a sweat. After it was all over, he took like 3 steps back.
Oh, shit.
He thought I was going to do him some harm.
Whoa.
I went home with my, you know, my head hung low.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe what I had been through, man. It was he mashed my shit up.
Oh, dude, it's no good. It's no fun showing your twiggles, giggles, and bits to a dude.
It's scary. Just the cough test, the quick,
Yeah,
that's nothing. That's a walk in the park.
Right.
Fuck what he did. It must have lasted for 5 minutes, man. Shit. 5 minutes of just being mutilated.
Shit. Like, okay, now I'm going to share this because I love you and my listeners. I have a hyper sensitivity to shit like shampoo and soaps. Like, if I change to a new brand of soap and it's too strong, I'll break out in rashes, like armpits, anywhere, right?
Well, you're blonde haired, blue eyed.
Right, so I'm a pussy, right? So essentially, one of these times, I tried a new shampoo, which gave me a little bit of an irritation down here. Ooh. Now, not necessarily on the twig and giggle berries, but in that area. So I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to go to a doctor or anything. I thought, you know what? It'll go away.
And did it?
No. So it gets more and more itchy, and I'm like, God damn it. So I have to go to the doctor, right?
Yeah.
And you know, when you call the doctor's office, they're like, what's the problem?
That's the worst. That's even worse than when you have to see the doc, is explaining to the receptionist.
So all I said to her was, yeah, I'd like to make an appointment with the doctor. Okay, what seems to be the problem? I'm having an allergic reaction. And she's like, okay, where's the allergic reaction? And I'm like, it's in a sensitive place. And she's like, fair enough. So then, you know, the doctor comes in, and you can tell she probably, you know, on the note, she probably wrote sensitive place. So he's like,
yeah,
I'm going to have to look at this motherfucker's nuts.
And it was a woman?
It was a dude. Same doctor I've been going to for years. So now I don't even, you know what I mean? It's even weirder now because he's seen my balls. So I had to be like, he's like, what's going on today? And I'm like, I got kind of an irritation. And I had to show this guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you had to drop your drawers, lay back on that paper bed.
And I'm like, dude, can I just like describe it to you and you can just give me something for it? Like, that being said, the cream that he prescribed, fucking priceless, sir. Like, one day gone. The
cortisone cream?
I don't even know what it was. It was a mixture of something. And I was like, this is awesome. Thanks, Doc.
Was it minty?
I don't know. I didn't taste it.
Do you keep it around for you and the lady?
I do have it, though, just in case. I kept it. It's going all thick and less creamy now, but I'm sure it's expired by now, but I still got it.
Hey, baby, let's get a rash.
Yeah, hey, baby, check it out. The rash will be gone in one day, I guarantee it.
You should, I'm sure Andy Kennedy could use it, you know, whenever it expires, just pass it off.
So him and his ladies can fix their souvenirs, as he so creepingly calls it. Oh. Souvenirs. So I want to point out again that the reason AK isn't here, folks, is because he got a new job and has to get up early, or so he says.
He went and got a grown-up job where he's got a desk and an office.
Wow, an office.
And a budget.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So what? What does he budget? I know we can't necessarily speak about what he does, but...
He told me that he put in an order for lab equipment. I think it was somewhere in the area of like 70 grand.
Wow.
And it got approved.
Wow.
So, yeah, he's...
Damn. Yeah, AK AK works at the big time.
Yeah.
Essentially, if we can metaphor it, if JV Gravy and I work for the Department of Defense, AK works for the private contractor that makes our weapons. Let's just leave it at that.
Yep.
He's up there, folks.
He's in there with the technology.
That's right. That's right. And not even just one of the bumpkins putting pieces together. He's one of the
others. Not anymore.
Yo, he better be making one hell of a raise, though, for ditching us. You know, Facebook drama, I know you love it. The other day, he chewed me a little on Facebook and was like, oh, Matt Leith is a pussy. And I was like, hey, man, you're judging me and you got an 8 p.m. bedtime? How's the new job, fucker?
Yeah. You know what, though? He makes his own hours.
So then what the fuck?
I know.
I got to get up early for the job. When do you start? Whenever I want.
Exactly.
What the fuck? When I worked 8 a.m., we still recorded. Do you remember?
Man, I was at work at 7 this morning.
And you'll be there tomorrow at 7.
Exactly.
And look, we're still here. That's right. The Reverend and I, when we contacted each other earlier this evening about recording, we were both like, why was so bad?
Yeah,
I don't know much.
It was such a sad conversation.
It's like, what's the word, Slick? I was like, oh, I'm down if you're down. Yeah, all right, I'm down. I'll see you soon.
I'm in. I'll see you after 10.
Okay, see you later. And we made eye contact, and we're both clearly just totally beat. And I'm like, we could have canceled, man.
We could have. But now we're going to go out for a beer after.
Yeah, exactly. And we literally mean a beer because we're both old, broke, and tired.
Yeah, broke-ass musicians that moonlight at the Center of Self-Defense.
And yeah, the Department of whatever.
Yeah.
Too many fucking metaphors give me a headache.
Yeah, man. You know, flying under the radar is tough some days.
Absolutely.
Today was a tough day to fly under the radar,
Yeah.
Fuck.
You had to work hard today. You were fucking lifting sledgehammers and shit.
I was sledgehammers and like, I don't know what the hell this gun is called. It basically what it is it's a jackhammer.
Yeah.
That you lift up and like horizontally or at a diagonal up or down.
Yeah.
And yeah, just blasting walls. Like that fucker had to weigh 40 pounds.
That thing's fucking horrible.
And just blasting through concrete. Yeah.
Fucking horrible.
Dust mask. And,
oh, dude. No fucking. Matt Lees and manual labor are not homies.
No, it's going to get me back into fighting shape, though.
That's fair, because, you know, we got the big WrestleMania match coming up.
And I found out I could, even now, I think, go down to one of the Indian reserves.
Mm-hmm.
And I could get into an MMA fight, and if I win, there's something like a $5,000 purse.
Fuck me, really?
Yeah.
See, I was almost interested in coming with you, but then I realized I can't stand violence, dude. And on a reserve?
You could stand me getting into violence.
No, man.
You could be a ring guy,
you got
know?
A special place in my heart, son. I don't want to watch some fucking natives beat the shit out of you. And on the other hand, we're on their reserve, right? Oh, so yeah. Even if you beat their ass, what's going to happen? You think they're giving you that $5,000? Fuck you. No way. You're going to be like, yo, I just whooped you and all your boys. Now give me my money. You're not coming out of there, man. They're going to fucking scalp you. No disrespect.
Not if I take some time, tan up, get a new haircut.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I can look like... I'm a chameleon.
I can't back you up on this one. I can't go with you. I will wait outside the reserve for you. And in any sign of danger, I will drive away. So, if you need a ride there, I might be able to get you there, but I can't get you back.
You're not going
to
corner me? I'll get someone to corner me.
Oh, dude. I would... Listen, I got your back anywhere else. In a world where it's fake and not really actually violent and predetermined, I'm your boy. If it's going to come down to I might have to scrap somebody too, no. No. Like how? No way. Do you realize what you just talked about? You want to go to a native reserve and get into an MMA fight?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? It's no $5,000. I guarantee
you. I got to look into it. But if there's $5,000, if I win.
Oh, dude. Make sure it's on paper. Make sure you got something.
Not
not signed in blood on feathers. You know what I mean? Oh, shit. Because you know if I go with you, at some inopportune moment, I'm going to go. And then I'm gonna get my ass kicked. It's over. And they won't just beat you up. They'll stab you, man.
Yeah.
A big white man beat ass. Kill him.
We'll go get some hippies to bring down with us.
Fair enough. I know some hippies.
We'll trade them.
I know some. And listen, folks out there.
Trade them for their pelts.
I got something about hippies I'd like to bring up. Just because you don't bathe and you don't wash your clothes does not make you a hippie, motherfucker. I know too many dudes that are like, I embrace the hippie lifestyle. No, you don't. You're just a fucking scumbag.
You're a fucking bum.
Doesn't mean you're a fucking hippie. Jesus.
Wipe your ass, you stanky motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't like having feces on me. Excrement.
Yeah. You got to be afraid of some of those dreadlocks, man. I've seen dreads that on chicks that are hot and they're sexy. And then I've seen them on chicks and... You know, you're looking for the bugs. You want to see what's crawling out of there.
Because aren't dreads just in their own, even at their base of their existence, aren't they just not sexy? Isn't that the point? Like, they're dirty. That's you know what I mean? Can't get behind that, dude.
They're a statement. I'm iffy about the dreads.
I'd be afraid to touch the hair, you know what I mean?
Is it even hair? It's more like rope, eh?
That's what I mean. It's just their hair getting...
It's predator hair.
It's their hair getting natty and gross. Yeah, predator hair indeed.
Well, there's only there's only a couple of ways to get dreads and keep them.
And the best way is to stop washing your hair.
Yeah.
Can't get behind that, man.
No, I could never.
No,
never.
No way. Even right now, I think my hair is greasy and it bugs me. Because the longer it gets, the greasier it looks, you know what I mean?
By the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, oh, I'm a bum. But that's all right. I'm a musician. I'm allowed to be a bum.
Yeah, but as long as you're a clean bum.
It's true. I am a bum, but I'm a clean bum.
Like I shower like twice a day. I'm pretty freaky about
that. I do. I've been known to shower twice a day or to shower during in the morning and then take an evening bath with a book.
and candlelights.
That's right. And Kenny G. And fuck you for no Kenny G. But still, I'm not ashamed to say I like a good bath.
I can't fit in a fucking bath.
That's fair. You are a big man.
I think I'm just a little larger than I'm. I'm only 6'2".
Yeah.
But I can't fit. You know, if I was going to take a bath, I want to be able to submerge everything except for my head.
That's
My head, if I feel the desire to.
Yes.
Without having to, you know,
lift your stick your legs in the air.
My legs up on the wall.
Slide on your ass so you can get your head under the water.
Yeah.
Dude, Tara's parents' house, they have an awesome bathtub. Like jacuzzi bathtub and shit. Even like when Tara and I lived at our old place, we were closer to them. Yeah. I would literally just show up at their house and be like, yo, can I take a bath? And they're totally cool with it. But you know,
they didn't mind.
No, I'd go over late at night, take a bath, put some music on, fucking chill out, guy. Nothing wrong with a good bath, folks. But speaking, oh, fuck me. Speaking of being a broke-ass lazy musician, something that's time-sensitive and will mean nothing to you if you're not in the area, but there's a show coming up. The end of the month, March the 31st. We are the Matt Lees, just me, not the band, myself. I'll be making my hibernation return because generally I go away for the winter and don't play. So I'm breaking the skin. I don't even know what breaking the skin means. God damn it, I should just...
You're busting back.
I should talk instead of just fucking trying to say something. You're
coming
what I mean?
Out of the cave.
Yeah. Essentially, I'm leaving the Matt Cave for the first time this year to play a show, and I'll be playing at my favorite, everybody's favorite, the Boathouse of Victoria Park. Wednesday night, I assume around 9 o'clock will be showtime. I know I'm playing with other people, but I'm not sure who they are. I'm sure they're going to be awesome. I know that James O'Brien, a local blues guy, who also has mentioned he listens to the show, he's playing the same night too. So I'm not sure if there's a bunch of us, but Wednesday, March the 31st at the Boathouse, please come out and see us if you're local. I'm sure that the Reverend may be there with a pint in hand.
Oh, I'm gonna shoot to be there.
Absolutely. Sure. So you'll get to see me play. You'll get to visit with the Reverend. Maybe we'll do a little something for the podcast if you're there and you want to get involved. I'm talking to you, Tim, motherfucker. So essentially, if you're a listener and you're local, no excuses. March 31st.
Hey. So hey. If you're playing March 31st,
because
we just played on Saturday. The Sally Chancer played at Kennedy's on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
We were handing gifts out to our Facebook friends, and you're a Facebook friend.
Yeah.
But you didn't show up, motherfucker.
Right.
But I thought, you know what, just because you are who you are, I brought you
your very own. No way! That's awesome.
You got to play it for the crowd.
Okay.
Oh, other side, you get better resonance.
That's awesome.
Maybe you can work that into the Matt Lees show.
Sally Chancer kazoos.
There we go.
Oh, that's awesome, dude. Oh, that's Wick. Thank you. You saved one for me. I'm flattered. You know, I'm flattered, even though I didn't come to your show.
Oh, of course.
You know, but I'm an asshole, so.
Well, that's all
right. I'm nothing if not consistent, right?
I knew that coming into this.
That's fair. You did.
I think the sound comes out of here.
Oh.
So you're
did you hear that, folks?
You're getting a lot of air coming out of there, right?
Oh.
Yeah, see,
yes, I did just need a kazoo lesson. Fuck yourselves.
That's all right, man.
Hum don't blow.
Mr. Matt Lees.
Yeah, that's right. No teeth. No teeth, ladies. I don't know what that computer is doing. I'm using it essentially to charge my phone. But... Yeah, so come and see it March 31st. I don't know how much this is going to work out because I'm starting to notice, based on our stats, I think we have a lot of listeners that are behind. Because it seems like when a new episode goes up, you know, within the first week of that, I get a couple listens. But the further back you go, the more listeners there are. And gradually, they're all...
People are working their way
up. Yeah, so I think people are just a little behind the eight ball. Because generally, when we get a reaction to something, it's a few weeks later.
Really?
And I'm like, what the fuck?
Or people just need some time to think
about
it.
That's fair. So, you know.
They need to mull and ponder.
That's right. We are playing. We are consistently going to keep playing Am I an Asshole? Anytime you come up with something, legendinmypodcast@gmail.com. We don't have anything right now. No listener mail lately. It's gone kind of dry in the mailbox.
The mailbag's empty.
The mailbag is empty. Not even Joe horrible. Gross wrote to us this time.
Oh, man.
No, nothing. But what can you do? You know, J.J. Hawkins from Portland, who does Mars Needs Podcast, pointed out that, I think I mentioned this before. You know, people are listening on their iPods, so they're on their way to work, on their way to school. They're not in front of a computer. By the time they are, maybe they forget to email us. You know, it's cool.
Yeah.
At some point, we would like to hear from you guys. And that being said, I'd like to also steal from misinformation again and do the listener challenge. So, if you're listening, I want you to go get us one more listener. Go and tell one friend. Get one friend to sign up and subscribe and download the episodes. Because we want to push. We want to get more and more listeners, right?
Absolutely.
More and more listeners, because that's good for everybody. Yes, exactly.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins if you get us more listeners. Because if we can get sponsorship, that means we can buy prizes and we can send people shit.
That's right. And I think that people will just live a healthier life.
Yes.
And generally, people that listen to Legend in my podcast are better well-hung than people that don't.
And people that listen to misinformation.
Yeah, it's a fact.
It's a fact. If you listen to our show, you got a bigger dick than you do if you listen to misinformation.
Exactly. Or at least your nutsack is a little lower.
That's true. That's
or
right.
Or your boobs.
Or your boobs.
Or your boobs. Ladies. Boobs. Ladies, those, your boobies.
Those southern ladies are busty.
Southern ladies are busty.
Oh, dude.
You know who's busty? Aggies.
Aggies.
Do you know what an Aggie is?
No.
Aggies are agricultural students.
Okay.
So I know that from my time in Guelph. Guelph is a busty city.
Fair enough.
And I believe it's because of the Aggies.
Right.
I don't know where else they have agricultural programs in colleges.
I assume
or whatever.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure every state, every province, everywhere has one. So if you're a single guy, I would suggest you move to a place that has an agricultural program.
Because
there will be busty, corn-fed ladies there.
Amen, and everybody loves busty ladies.
That's right.
But not too busty.
Well, everyone's got different
flavors. Too busty is intimidating.
Well, too busty, and then when they lay on their back, they just flop over to the sides,
yeah,
right?
It's strange.
I don't even know what to do with that
shit. Well, and this is also going to make me sound like a prick, but like I care. Ladies, your belly should never be bigger than your boobies. Okay, I just want to point that out.
Your gunt.
Your gut should not be bigger than your tits. Yeah. I mean, who am I to talk? I got a big belly. I understand.
Men are allowed. Eh? It's a double standard. That's fair. Totally true.
It's totally.
It's true and it's fine.
It's true. You should dispose of them.
Deal with it, bitches.
And you should. You should dispose of them. Oh, fuck. So we're also getting really close to my road trip. Which I'm fucking getting pumped for now.
Pretty amped, eh?
I'm for those of you who may not know, I don't know how you wouldn't, but I'm off to the United States soon for what we're calling Matt Lees versus USA.
Yeah, baby.
And I'm going to be going down there for the wedding of two lovely people. I think I've mentioned before, Zach is getting married to his, you know, the lady who lives with him by choice.
His longtime love.
That's right. That's right. And
or short time. How would I know?
I don't want to know either. What do I know? Let's not get personal. I don't really know. I'm going to be going down there to essentially, they asked me to sing Jenny, his wife, down the aisle, which is, you know, I'm honored to do that. I also have a show in their local town while I'm there.
Killer.
And it's going to be a good time. I'm pumped.
It's going to hit Chicago too, aren't you?
I'm going to go fuck Chicago. That's right. We'll be like, Chicago, you're my bitch now.
Bam!
What's up?
Well, and you got some blues shit under your belt.
That's
too,
right.
So
that's right. I'm gonna need to. I'm gonna need to bust the blues if I get it. You know, in Chicago, I'm gonna need to play some blues.
Some Matt Lee's blues. Yeah.
That's right. I'm actually gonna write a couple blues tunes because blues is easy. You just need to come up with a repetitive line.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm gonna try to come up with something like. I was thinking something techie because you know Lois Lane is kind of geeky.
Yeah.
I'm trying to come up with something like. I can't get my Wi-Fi connected blues. You know what I mean? Something updated, like my iPod won't sync with my iTouch, and I can't get my laptop to sync with my... I'm thinking something like that as a blues tune. I think that could be fun. But I may just go old school and write a song about some bitch that broke my heart. But I will be taking this thing with me.
Oh, the kazoo. You know, if all else fails, just rock the kazoo.
Please welcome all the way from Canada, Matt Lees. And I walk up serious as fuck. And then take it all serious when I bow and shit and walk off the stage.
That would be awesome.
I think they'll shoot me in Chicago, man.
I would pay you to do that.
Would you? How much?
Well, I don't know. It depends on depends on how much money I have.
Did you realize how much I just whore by? How much? How much? No, really. Fuck you. How much?
Well, I don't know. It depends. You know, like if you book a gig and that's all that you do.
Dude.
What would it be worth to you?
$100.
That may be,
but I could settle for five.
That may be doable.
Maybe tonight, if the Boathouse open stage is still going on, I'll just get up there and just bust with a kazoo. Be like, do you need to use my guitar? Be like, no, nah, I'm cool.
Not this time, fool.
Not this time. I got my weapon right here, motherfucker.
Bitches.
Now,
you could probably drop the... I don't know the name of the song, the I Was Born a Sinner's Son song.
Yeah.
That would be a good Chicago song, I think.
Yeah, I got a new, I worked out a new little arrangement for it, too.
Yeah?
For the tour. Tour.
The tour.
Ding! Quotations. a little more of a funky version, because it's kind of Oasis-ish. I funked it up a little bit and got a little more groove on it, so I can play it acoustically and not have it be boring.
I didn't think it was boring. I like that song.
I'm doing a lot of, like, for the wedding, obviously, I'm doing some more pop, pop love song kind of thing, like wedding stuff, yeah. Right?
Sure.
And that's got a very similar vibe to the vibe that I usually play.
Yeah. Or, how's that?
I don't know.
What are you talking
about? What's the one that the Wedding Crashers sing?
Oh, no idea. But Wedding Crashers is a pimp movie.
Oh, yeah.
Vince Vaughn's my fucking hero.
Vinny Vaughn? He's awesome.
Dude, I was in a band with my buddy Greg, and we were called Vince and the Vaughns. Isn't that fucking pimp? Oh, dude, I wish we would have had Drive so we could have made something out of that band. You never know. One day, you may hear of Vince and the Vaughns.
Yeah, you and Greg back at it again.
That's right. Oh, dude. It was all right. It was a short-lived band because the only thing he knew how to play was the bass line from Seven Nation Army. So no matter what we did, no matter what we were rehearsing, it was... And then it would go... Wait. Hold on.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, this band fucking sucks. I quit. Oh, dude, it was worse than being in a band with Dave K.
Hi-yo!
Oh! Just kidding, Dave. You deserve that, fucker. That being said, there's a chance I might be seeing Dave Rage tomorrow. But probably not.
Saying that.
Yeah, we talked about it again, and I've rethought it. I don't think so. I don't know why I just brought that up. Essentially, tomorrow is St. Paddy's Day around here.
Yes,
now,
it is.
Now, JJ...
Around here? It's all over the world.
That's fair, but JJ from... Mars Needs Podcast.
Yeah.
Gave me a little bit of a history lesson on his recent episode about St. Paddy's Day.
Okay.
I got, you know, he's not pleased with St. Paddy's Day, essentially.
Pourquoi?
Because I guess I'm going to fuck this up and sound like an asshole, but the origins of St. Paddy's Day is not an Irish holiday. It's a Boston Irish holiday. So.
What?
It's true. I'm just saying. So essentially, St. Paddy's Day is not something they celebrate in Ireland. They only celebrate it in Ireland to take advantage of the tourism. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But when somebody generally talks about St. Paddy's Day, it's for the Boston Irish. So.
But St. Patrick went into Ireland.
Right.
And he used the three-leafed clover
to
teach the Holy Trinity to the Irish.
Right.
That's
right. And then I guess JJ's other problem is that they celebrate that by getting drunk on a win. You know what I mean? They celebrate that by getting pissed. But
how else are you supposed to celebrate? How do the Irish celebrate anything?
That's true. And
they could have ruled the world.
Same way the Welsh do, buddy.
Exactly. They all could have ruled the world if beer wasn't invented.
It's fair, yeah. So, I mean, you know, but anyway, tomorrow is Paddy's Day. The Sally Chancer have a show. I'm not doing much of anything, but I heard from our illustrious former co-host, Dave Rage K, and he said, you want to come play a show with me on Paddy's Day? And I was like, yeah, sure, sounds good. But I'm a little less driven now. He's, you know, it's going to be a quiet night. It's not something that's...
Well, it's a Wednesday for one.
Yeah, so... You know, my options are, folks, to go play with Dave K and do a couple tunes at this bar, or to go to Flanagan's where the Sally Chancer will be, which is always a tits of a time.
It'll be a fiasco. It'll be shenanigans.
Yeah,
from the get go.
Absolutely.
And the bar has giveaways tomorrow too.
Dude, you guys should. That's what your show should be called: Shenanigans at Flanagan's.
I've named it that before. Uh-huh. It's always shenanigans when we play.
It's true. It really is. You know, you end up seeing AK's dick at the end of the night.
You never know what's gonna happen. Oddball drunks get up on stage and demand obscure songs that we try to oblige them, because I get a kick out of drunk people singing.
Yeah.
You know, some people get a little ugly
when the
drunks come up. I don't really have a problem with it, man. I kind of... It depends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To offset the randomness, what I'll do is I'll invite people.
Right.
You know, and then that seems to...
Deter the other ones, I guess.
Well, it seems to like the people that are gonna do it, they're gonna do it.
Yeah.
So why not, you know, get a song that they know?
Yeah.
you know, something really simple like you can't always get what you want by the Stones.
Yeah.
And just get as many people up on stage as you can, yeah, and just say fucking go crazy.
Absolutely.
That I don't know. That's the way I see it. That's me and Andy roll like that.
Yeah, I'm cool with audience participation and shit, but there comes a point where I've had enough.
There comes a point when
so yeah. If you're in an MLB show and you're singing along and talking along with us and we move on and go on with the night, enough's enough. You know what I mean? It's like if you're at a comedy club and you want to heckle the comedian, not a good idea because you'll get owned. This leads me into a great story. But if you got one zinger and you yell it out and the comedian's like, oh, hey, good job, zing or whatever.
Yeah.
Leave it alone. That's enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you got a freebie.
Yeah. That being said, let me say this about that.
Did you heckle, Matt?
No, I didn't. Well, I did a little, but I'm funny when I heckle.
Were you with a heckler?
I was. I was with 3 out of 4 of the Matt Lees band.
Who heckled?
Well, let me get into that. Folks, it's never a good thing when 3 out of 4 of the Matt Lees band are together. Because it just means consistent pitchers. And the other two, Jay and Holler, which is guitar and bass, were already fucking pissed by the time I got there. So we grab our seats and, you know, they're already slurring their words and shit.
Nice.
And as soon as the night starts, one of the comedians says, hey, does anybody have a birthday? So I immediately point at Holler and I'm like, it's this fucker's birthday! Next comedian. I'm like, hey, it's this guy's birthday. To the point that Holler got up and left. He's like, fuck you, man. And he wants to sit at the bar and just drinks by himself. But now, Mr. Jay Walsh, who we all know and love,
yeah,
is really drunk at this point. I'm getting my drink on, too. It's a couple hours into the night. Jay's at the point of drunk where you're just kind of sitting, slumped over.
Oh, no. He was fading.
He was fading. And the comedian said something, and it wasn't a very busy night, so it's quiet. The comedian says something, and Jay's like, oh, fucking bullshit. And the comedian hears him, right? So immediately the comedian beelines eye contact.
He's got
like,
a victim.
What'd you say, man? He's like, what'd you say? And Jay's like, nothing. He's like, no, come on. What'd you say, man? What, is your mouth full of cum? What's wrong? What did you say?
Oh!
So at that point, I get up out of my seat and move over to the next seat because I'm like, I'm not getting pwned with this guy. Like,
oh, you know what's going to happen.
It wasn't me. So then he's talking about, Jay's just like, oh, I'm just the guy asking you to make him laugh, fucker. And, you know, he's like, oh, you want to laugh? Yeah, kind of like that time you let all those guys cover you and cum, you know, Bukkake and shit. Blah, fucker. Like, and then you can tell the dude was like, I'm going to own this fucker because this is my house.
Sounds like he was picking a fight.
A little bit.
Like, did he cross that line?
I thought by the end, not by what he was saying, but more by his body language, I think he was crossing the line a little. Like, if Jay would have been way more hostile, I think it could have gotten a little... Because you know what? You owned him. You told him to shut his mouth. But then he just kept going. And he was staring at him. Like, it was a very...
Well, did Jay keep talking?
No, Jay was just kind of slurring and like...
He just didn't want anything to do with it, right?
No. And then he was like, what do you got to say for this? And Jay would just kind of like put his hand up and be like...
you got me.
Yeah. And then Jay was like, well, my girlfriend doesn't think I'm funny either. So fuck you.
Oh.
Right? And
so he'd think of something right. Like kind of too
wasn't
late.
Even, yeah, and it wasn't even good. It wasn't even funny. And I'm just like, Jay...
Yeah.
The plus side is Jay doesn't remember this. but I thought the comedian got a little, you know what I mean? Even in like he was amped, like he looked mad and he was leaning right into him. Like, if that would be somebody a little less civil, I think he might have got a punch in the mouth.
Yeah.
Not that I'm advocating that. Like, Jay opened it up, Jay got pwned, fair enough. But I get out to the bar, and of course, Holler's leaning over the bar drunk. I start drinking with him, and then we look around, and Jay's gone. Just completely gone. So I say to his girlfriend, works there. So I say, where's Jay? She's like, well, he said it was probably good for him to go home now. I was like, fair enough.
It probably was
yeah.
A good idea
so
for him to go home.
We keep drinking. And a little later in the night, I see the same comedian. And he's in the bar now. Because the Yuck Yucks here in Kitchener is in a hotel next to a bar. So essentially, the bar is in its lobby. So we're all in the lobby. And this comedian comes out. And he finds me. Comes over to me and he's like, hey man, I hope your buddy wasn't pissed though. I wasn't, you know, I was just joking around with him. I'm like, oh dude, you totally owned him. It's all good. You deserved it. And he's like, yeah, he looked like he was mad though. Was he really mad? And I'm like, he doesn't even probably remember that he was here. Like, it's cool. And he's like, all right, cool. Because I wasn't trying to like, you know, but he started it and I was like, fair. Like the whole time I was justifying him, I was like, dude, he stepped up. You knocked him down. Fair enough. Like, and Jay still doesn't really remember it. But Jay's banned. Jay is currently suffering a couple week ban from the Yuck Yucks.
Like, management banned him?
I think because his girl works there, she was just kind of like, hey man, you're going to get me in trouble. Take a couple weeks off. Like, and you guys, folks at home, know Jay Walsh because he's co-hosted on Legend with us. So
you got to cool it. That's funny.
Yeah, man. But, you know, Oh, Jay, he got owned, dude. And I remember, you know, Zach from Misinformation is a stand-up comic, right? So
okay.
Even the first time I told Zach I was going to Yuck Yucks, he knows me well enough now to know that I got a big mouth. So he was like, don't say shit to those comedians because they'll roast you. And there's been a couple times where I've said things that are pretty funny, but I don't want to get into it too much because...
You're not that quick.
No, I'm going to get old. Like, there's going to be a room full of people that are going to be like, blah, 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 all just staring at me, and I'm like,
Well, the guy with the mic, man, that's what he does.
Yeah, but I'm convinced I could go down to amateur night and just at least make a couple people laugh.
I'm sure you could.
I think that'd be funny.
I think you got it, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, not that I'm trying to insinuate that being a stand-up comedian's easy, but I think I can make people laugh. I could just tell stories about shit I've gotten myself into, and people would laugh.
Well, you know, if you run out of material, just pretend you're Andy Kennedy.
I'll just start telling Andy's stories. Like, I already know I'm going to tell his fucking Renaissance story if I ever do stand-up. I'm telling his story as if it was me.
You found Peter where you thought you'd find Sally.
Oh, so sad.
That's hilarious. Dude. Have you ever seen Joe Rogan?
Yes, I have, from News Radio.
From UFC commentating. Yeah. Or Fear Factor.
Yeah.
That guy is an animal to hecklers, man.
Yeah, he just rips people.
He's fucking mean.
Well, I mean, it's like... I would feel the same way. Like, you've seen me react to people in crowds when they're lipping too much and I'm getting pissed off. Like, I feel it. If you're a comedian, you don't have a band to hide it. You don't have... Like, if somebody's heckling me at a bar, I'll turn my guitar up and they can't hear him anyway.
Yeah.
If all I've got is a mic and you're yelling out and shit, of course they're going to get pissed. So, I don't blame them for ripping into people, man. At all.
No, God, no.
The best one I've ever seen, though, is, of course, Richard Pryor. Because there's a Richard Pryor stand-up where he's whatever joke he's telling, and somebody in the crowd's like, your mother! And Richard Pryor's like, what? I'll slap you in the dick with my mouth, motherfucker. Wait, I said it wrong. I'll slap you in the mouth with my dick, motherfucker.
Are you sure this is something you want to be doing, man?
Dude, that reminds me. There was a buddy once. He was sleeping with his girl, just banging her, not, you know.
Yeah.
And I was giving him a ride the one time, and he's like, all right. I'm gonna go put this girl's dick in my mouth. And gets out of the car and I'm like, wait. What? And
he's What'd you say to me?
He's outside the car now and he's like, fuck you. those slips where you mix up words and sound like a total queer. You know what I meant. Richard Pryor threatened to slap the guy with his
dick. That's hilarious. Oh, okay. He didn't say, I'm going to...
No, he said, I will slap you in the mouth. I will slap you in the mouth with my dick, is what he said to the guy.
That's a good... But I think it's almost even funnier to get it wrong. To get it wrong. Fuck!
Oh, dude, that's a pretty weak segue, but speaking of getting something wrong, again, last week, I stepped out of line.
What?
I got owned about something we did last week.
Oh.
For those of you who may be members of the Facebook group, Legend in My Spare Time, if you're not, get the fuck on there and do it. And by the way, there's 100 of you motherfuckers, and we don't get that many hits on the episodes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well. Something's going on, motherfuckers. But anyway, one of the members of our team, Neurotic, who does some of the promos you guys have heard, excellent local freestyle or local hip-hop artist, a man that I consider direct family. He's a brother to me. Last week we dedicated the episode, you know, as you know, to Notorious B.I.G.
Yes, we did.
And we brought up ODB.
Greatest rapper of all time.
Fair enough. That's your opinion. And I said...
In my opinion.
I said some things about ODB. And Mr. Neurotic, being the one who is in totally... Remember how last week I was talking about anybody who's educated in hip-hop would understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Neurotic's very educated in hip-hop, and he gave Matt Lee some shit.
And he understood exactly what you were saying.
Yeah, he gave me some shit. He basically said, how dare you have an episode dedicated to Biggie, and I'm your officer in charge of lyrical content, and you didn't bring me on the phone. How dare you, Matt Lees?
Yeah, I guess when I asked, why is Biggie the best, you should have called him.
I should have. And, you know, that being said, we're going to call him right now because he wanted a chance to give me some shit. And I know you're down to hear me get shit.
Oh, I love the idea of you getting in shit.
So we're calling up Dr. Neurotic right now.
Hello.
Paging Dr. Neurotic.
Who's this?
Yo, this is Legend in My Spare Time, Matt Lees, motherfucker.
You failed.
I did fail. Listen, Neurotic, we're online, right? We're live on the recording of the episode right now with the Reverend Dam Davies.
Okay.
And last week, he was on the side of ODB. And last week, we dedicated an episode to Biggie, and I didn't bring you in on...
To the Reverend.
Right. Fair enough. He saluted to you.
Oh, thank you very much,
sir.
So,
last week, why don't you just... You're disappointed in me. Is that right, Neurotic?
You fucked up, son.
I did fuck up.
You ruined
right.
the whole experience by being an asshole. I'm very talk bad about Old Dirty. God bless the dead, son.
You're
fuck around.
That's fair. I mean, you were upset at me because, you know, you're in charge of lyrical content for the podcast. And we had a Biggie tribute and I didn't get you involved, and that was some bullshit on my part, right?
Yeah, well, it goes without saying.
That's fair. So tell me a little bit about ODB then. You know, why did I misspeak about ODB? Because I don't know that much about him.
Because ODB was the god. Can't fuck with Old Dirty. No one could fuck with Old Dirty. When people were trying to sound like everybody, he came and killed it all. Left people in the dust. Couldn't understand the style. That's why he's the most original. That's why when the Neptunes came around, before Jay, they blew up with Jay-Z, they were even looking for Old Dirty. Don't front. Those guys were the shit. They knew who was the king of New York at the time. Even though everyone was talking Biggie this, Biggie that, Jay let know what's up with Biggie. That's why Biggie's gone today. God bless the dead, son.
Amen. Fair enough.
Wow. Yeah, there
you know
we
what?
Go.
That being said, it's pretty fitting that, you know, I went Biggie and the Reverend brought up ODB, huh? They're a lot more connected than I thought they were.
Well, yeah. I mean, before Biggie's first album, we had Method Man on there. Instead, he wanted Old Dirty, but Old Dirty was like, fuck that guy.
That sounds like Old Dirty
you
to me.
You gotta understand, Old Dirty was the shit before anybody else was the shit. He was getting shot before 50 Cent was getting shot. He was on stage drunk and all that shit before anyone was doing all that shit. Plus the Wally Champ, the whole slang and all that shit, everything that New York is all famous for.
Right.
That's all Old Dirty back.
Brooklyn Zoo.
Nah.
That's what's up.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, all I can do is, you know, let you know that next time we do something hip-hop related, I'm going to bring you on the line and you can join the episode with us. And I won't miss...
What about the tribute show how Jay-Z killed Biggie?
Yeah, that's true. Neurotic has some shit about how he thinks Jay-Z is the one who killed Biggie. And it's pretty interesting.
Conspiracy theory.
Yeah, because if you break it down, in the way Neurotic has put it to me, is the person who had the most to gain from the death of Tupac and Biggie was Jay-Z. Because Jay-Z did not become the king until those guys were gone.
Aha!
So, you know what? We'll do that. We'll have an episode where we'll have you break that down for us, Neurotic.
I believe we want to see it.
That's what she said. All right. Well, listen, man. Thanks for putting me in my place a little bit. And again, next time there's a hip-hop show, any kind of thing, we'll get you in here.
That's right. March 27th. I'm lucky, son.
That's right, March 27th, for those of you listening. Neurotic has a show, Lucky's right downtown Kitchener.
I don't know, Lucky.
And, featuring Matt Lees.
Featuring Matt motherfucking Lees.
Motherfucking Matt Lees.
Yo, you ain't never seen Matt Lees like you've seen Matt Lees with Neurotic, I'm just saying.
Getting crunk.
Yeah, we do some shit, it's fun. Neurotic, for those of you who haven't
DJing
heard
DJing on Salvia.
Yeah, DJing on Salvia, that's right. We got, that's definitely a good show. March 27th, you guys should check that out. And
how's that?
Anything else to close on right now, Neurotic?
What's that?
Anything to close with?
What are my clothes with?
Oh, sir, do you have anything to say goodbye with? What are your final thoughts this week?
Don't fear the Reaper.
Fair enough. And don't say bad things about ODB.
And don't say bad shit about Old Dirty. God bless the dead. Brooklyn Zoo.
All right, man. Thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right. Smoke all right. Buddha. Peace.
Later. That's the one and only Neurotic who just gave me shit.
Well, you deserved it.
Fair enough. You know what I think we should do is I think we should look up the dates that all these hip hop greats have been murdered.
Yeah.
And anytime one of those dates, anytime there's one of those dates, we'll dedicate that episode to one of the OG hip hop guys. And I think we should only do it for hip hop guys. I think that'd be funny.
Fair enough.
Not funny, but you know what I mean. Anytime there's an anniversary of one of the hip-hop greats, we'll dedicate the show to them.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And we'll bring Neurotic on to give us a little bit of history.
That's cool.
That's right.
I can do that.
Now, for those of you who haven't checked him out, Neurotic is on the Facebook group, so you can get to his music through there, and you should definitely listen to it.
Spell the name, though, because I know it's not...
It's a little funky.
It's not obvious.
No, it's K-N-E-W.
New.
Like, you know, I knew that.
I know.
Bra... R-A-W, because he's raw. And Tick, T-I-C-K, because he's a little lunatic-ish. New Raw Tick. He's got a tune called Therapist, which is dope. It's dope. It's like, I need a therapist. T-H-E-R-A-P-ist, a therapist. It's awesome. Seriously, he is not the look at my watch, look at my chain kind of rapper. It's awesome. You guys should all check him out. I think you've heard him because you've seen him with me before, haven't you?
No.
Oh, damn. You should come to Lucky's and have some wings with us then.
You know what? I should go to Lucky's.
It's going to be fun. For those of you who are in the area, Lucky's, the 27th, which is the night before
the Matt Lee's experience.
No. You got it. What's on the 28th? Come on, Reverend.
What's on the 28th?
Come on, Reverend.
Have I forgotten?
You're
already
coming over here?
Oh!
Say it with pride.
Oh, the WrestleMania.
WrestleMania! The showcase of the Immortals is 2 weeks away.
March 27th. You know what? Actually, I probably will. Maybe I'll pop in, check out your boy Neurotic.
Yeah.
But GSP is fighting Dan Hardy.
I don't know.
That night. UFC.
Maybe they'll have it on at Lucky's.
If they have it on, that would be tits.
All right. I'll take a look into that for you.
Because, yeah, I that's the only thing I go out of my way for, any sort of, like, pay-per-view or whatever.
Right, is the UFC
unless there's a party, you know, like you're going to have a WrestleMania party.
Oh, so yeah.
I'm going out of my way for that because,
amen.
You know, even if the wrestling's not good, I know I'm in good company.
That's right. We're going to drink some beer.
Exactly.
Hopefully your wife can drop you off.
Yeah.
Or maybe just get her to drop you off, and maybe T-Rex will give you a ride home. Because she doesn't drink anyway, so.
I mean,
that's my nickname for Tara. But, yeah. Folks, if you're out there and you're local and you would like to come to the WrestleMania party, here's how we're going to do this, because I'm a prick. Okay? So, email us.
Earn it.
I'm going to take it to the Reverend. Email me and tell me why you should be invited to our WrestleMania party. If me and the Reverend both sign off on it, you can come to the WrestleMania party. Unless you're Andy Kennedy, you can go fuck yourself, because you already made fun of wrestling. Fuck you. Yeah. Enjoy your 8 p.m. bedtime.
Andy Kennedy sold out to the man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. I mean,
he better still be listening to the show in his fucking fancy office, though.
Oh, yeah. He's probably laughing all by himself.
And if you're listening right now, Andy, fuck you. Did you get that? Fuck you. But yes, folks, there WrestleMania is upon us, sir. 26.
Yeah,
WrestleMania 26.
Quick, what's today? The 17th?
Yeah, it's like 13 days or something.
No, tomorrow's 17th.
All right, so it's like 11 days.
12. Sweet.
I don't do math, so.
We should podcast it.
We should just podcast during it and be like, oh my God! You can be like, Matt's head just exploded because his guy lost, and now he's crying like a bitch.
We'll have a running commentary. Yeah,
that sounds like fun. You know, for any of you out there, you want to hear my announcer voice again? I'm going to run the WrestleMania card. Are you ready?
All right, here we go.
For the WWE Championship, Batista takes on John Cena. The challenge is on for Cena because he's never beaten Batista. Also, for the World Heavyweight Championship, Chris Jericho against Edge. Edge is a T.O. boy, so we got to cheer.
That's an all-Canadian matchup right
that's
there.
That's right. Which is
Winnipeg versus T.O.
That's right, which is funny because lately on one of the events, sometimes the cameras get too close to the crowd and you can hear them. Yeah. And Jericho was wrestling the one time and some guy was like, go back to Toronto, bitch! And Jericho picks up his opponent, throws him in the ring and goes, I'm from Winnipeg, idiot. It was so funny, dude. They don't announce him from Winnipeg, though. They announce him from the States. Because Jericho's dad was a really famous NHL player.
Oh,
and he's not trying to play on that, so he doesn't get booked as from Canada.
Okay, but he is.
Definitely from Winnipeg, and he trained in Calgary with Stu Hart at the Dungeon. You know, Stu Hart, father of Brett and Owen, and dude, wrestling history is rich, dude.
It's something.
It's something indeed. Like, I'm more fascinated by that part of it now. Like, you know,
which
guys are in with which guys and why the booking works a certain way. And, you know, it's fascinating to watch that kind of shit, man. Bret Hart makes his return to the squared circle, sir, against Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Dude, it's going to be a fucked up match. I'm so pumped. And then, you know, there's multiple other matches.
Didn't Bret Hart have a fucking stroke?
Yeah, you know why? Because fucking Big Bill Goldberg kicked him in the head.
For real?
Yeah, I got the footage. I can show it to you. He literally gets a full-on kick to the back of the head.
Really?
Like, it was accidental, obviously, but he gets a huge kick to the, like, and you can see it, like, when you first show it, you don't really catch it, but then on the video that I have, Brett actually breaks it down, and he's like, yeah, you can see that he full-on kicks me in the back of the skull. So, apparently, Brett was fine that night. He finished the match. Everything was fine.
Yeah.
Wakes up in his hotel room the next day, and he can't move. Like, he's practically paralyzed, and it turned out he had a massive concussion, which is why he hasn't been able to wrestle.
Okay.
Which, my cynical mind thinks, I still don't think he's going to wrestle at WrestleMania. I think there's going to be some kind of a, you know, wrestling storyline that's going to take him out of it, because he can't take a hit to the head. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
I don't know. I'm not the medical doctor.
Right.
So I don't know.
But I've heard many times that he can't go into the ring anymore, and he's not wrestling like a professional wrestler. He's wrestling McMahon. So the odds of him taking a natural hit are a little higher.
Now,
I don't know, man.
But wasn't that the same with, like, Shawn Michaels? How many guys, you know...
Yeah.
That supposedly retired and couldn't
wrestle. Yeah.
Probably a lot of them just shouldn't, man.
That's true. Like, Michaels is beyond it now. Like, dude can't even walk down the aisle, pretty much. Like, it's sometimes he's like hobbling to get into the ring, and it's like, dude, you should have retired, like,
yeah,
you know. And Shawn Michaels is my boy. I like Shawn Michaels. His match at WrestleMania, is the storyline is if he loses, he has to retire. And I'm kind of hoping he loses, because you know what, it's time to rest, man. Just go, like, too much. But he's another one that's had a concussion that they tried to write into the storyline.
Okay.
His was funnier, though. The story behind his was he was in a bar somewhere and a bunch of Marines were in the house. And all the Marines' girlfriends were like, it's Shawn Michaels, check it out. And he was like flirting with them and shit. So apparently the Marines...
I'm the heartbreak kid.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently the Marines beat his ass, like laid a beating on him.
Wrecked him.
Damn near killed him. And he was, you know, he was hospitalized with a concussion and shit so badly that they had to write it into the storyline so they could write him out of wrestling for a while because he was fucked up. That's just crazy, man. But, you know, there was a day in wrestling when looking back into wrestling history, there was a time when they used to have things called, I think they call it kayfabe. And kayfabe basically means, let's say we're both wrestlers and you're a good guy and I'm a bad guy.
Yeah.
We can never be seen together in public. We can't ride in cars together.
Okay,
we can't
I've heard
eat
of
together.
That. Yeah.
Like it used to be. This was back before it was kind of well known that it's a work.
Yeah. Like this Iron Sheik and Hogan.
Right. They wouldn't be allowed to be seen together. I've heard stories about dudes that would be friends, but they were feuding at the time.
Yeah.
So one of the dudes would have to ride in the trunk until they got out of the arena and out of the town, and then he would be allowed to get out once he got on the highway. But seriously, if they like drove by a fan that was waving at them, the one of them would have to duck. Like, it was crazy back then because they wanted people to believe that it was real.
That's
to the point that there are stories about if you got in a fight in a bar with somebody because you were Big John Studd and some guy wants to fight you.
Yeah.
If you lost that fight, your promoter would fire you because you brought shame upon the business. You know what I mean? Like, so back in the day, they took it mad serious. Like, there are some great
Andre
documentaries.
The Giant in Montreal. Flipped a car.
Yeah.
With people in it.
Like, that's crazy.
I read that in Uncle John's Bathroom Reader. If you don't ever have anything to read, just read Uncle John's, man.
That's awesome.
Front to back. The best written books ever.
Yeah. Oh, it's really fascinating, man. These dudes that choose to be wrestlers for a living are fucked up, man. And seriously, I've got some documentaries that are like 3 hours long, but you watch it over a couple days. It's pretty fascinating, man, the shit that these guys get themselves into.
I wonder about that. You know, wrestling is such an odd industry.
Yeah.
Because they're athletes. There's no doubt that they're gifted athletes, most of them.
Yeah.
But they don't get recognized like athletes
no,
do.
No, it's not on Sportsnet or anything. And
no, it's not on, well, because it's not really a sport.
It's true.
You know, even though it's athletic, it's... It's like a...
It's entertainment is what it is, basically.
Yeah, it's strange. Like, how do you even categorize it, right?
It's like a circus. It's like a... But I don't know. A lot of people that give it a hard time, I think it's a lot more real than you really think it is. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's predetermined. They're not actually fighting each other. But even last night on Raw, the one dude got his nose fucked up. Like, they did some kind of move where he twisted and tried to kick him in the face. And as soon as he turns around, blood is just pouring out of his nose. So it's clearly broken. And there's multiple times I've seen that. And they'll finish the match with a broken nose and shit. Like, I don't know how fake it can be when you just got your nose broken, right? Like,
well, they're not in any actual, like... They're not in danger of being...
Hurt.
By the other person.
Right.
Like they're not going to get... if the guy's down... Yeah, if one guy's down, the other guy's not going to get on top of him and start punching him for real.
Because it's not MMA. It's not an actual fight.
Exactly. There's no referee that's actually going to jump in and save.
Yeah. So it's only fake in that they're not actually competing with each other. They're not actually fighting.
Yeah.
But everything else about it, I mean, like, if you fly off, if you get hit in the head with a chair, like...
That's fucked up,
some of the dudes block it with their hands, but there are other dudes that full-on take those hits. And, like, You're taking that hit, man. There are some hardcore matches that are fucked up.
Yeah. Well, that movie, The Wrestler.
Yeah. And
I think it's a lot more on the side of the wrestler,
yeah,
movie than it is on, say, the side of ballet.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard wrestlers interviewed about the wrestler movie.
Yeah,
and a lot of them have said it's like they took a page out of my diary. Like, it's literally the life that I live is, and that's why so many of them get addicted to painkillers and shit, right? Because you got to wrestle a match, your back's killing you, and then you got to sit in a car and drive 300 miles to the next match.
That's fucked.
What are you going to do? You're going to pop a bunch of pain pills and you're going to drive for 12 hours. You know what
these
I mean?
These guys are, you know, I don't know if about the, you know, they're semi-celebrity.
Right.
You know, and they're probably a celebrity to more people than not.
Right. Because it's, I mean, there's going to be 90,000 people at WrestleMania, man.
That, yeah, exactly.
That's it's crazy.
But why the fuck do these guys have to drive themselves?
Well, I'm sure now, modern day, they don't. I'm referring to the old school guys. Like Hulk Hogan days, Hogan and Andre would wrestle and then drive 300 miles and wrestle again. Like,
well, I watched something not too long ago about Chris Jericho driving himself from show to show to show.
Mm-hmm.
All on his own, right? He'd bring his car and drive from show to show.
That's crazy. But that would be my choice if I had that kind of job. I would much rather drive on my own than sit on a bus with somebody.
Wouldn't you rather just take... They got enough money. Why isn't there a fucking WWF plane?
Well,
just, you know, okay, guys, let's go.
Well, apparently there are a certain list of dudes that get first-class plane tickets everywhere. Good. I'm assuming like Michaels, you know, Triple H, Undertaker, those guys, they're not... I think Jericho would do it by choice. You know, I don't know the guys, obviously, but from what I've read about him and seen interviews with him, like...
You know,
I think he would choose to do it that way. I mean, I would choose to do it that way. If it was, because, I mean, you got to think of it this way. They're not like, they're just working a job together, right? So it's a different kind of world. But if I had to do something with my job where I have to travel, let's say my job wants to send me to Brampton every day to train. There's no way I would want to carpool with the people I work with.
Okay, well, think about it this way. What if it was the Matt Lees band?
Right.
And you guys were getting some recognition and you got signed or whatever. And it's like, okay, now you do a bus tour of Canada. You know,
I would almost still prefer to go on my own.
You and the three other guys are, but you don't have that. They're not giving you that option.
Right.
They're saying,
that's what I mean. If I had that option, I would take that option and drive myself. And that doesn't mean I don't love the boys in my band, but I got a lot of personal bubble, man. I need, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I need alone
space.
Time.
I just, you know, well, first of all, none of these guys are getting paid millions either. I don't
know. They're, some of them are
like,
getting paid.
What are their
handsomely.
Paychecks like?
I think the way it works is WWE takes the house, so like all the ticket sales and the TV revenue, whatever. Yeah. And it's almost like a pyramid, not a pyramid scheme. It's like an umbrella thingy. So it's like if you're in the main event, you get the biggest cut. And then the guys in the next match get a slightly smaller cut, smaller. So technically the champion's always making the most.
Yeah.
And like from everything that I've seen, that seems to be how it works. So WWE takes their money. Okay, these guys get this percentage because they're in the main event. Those guys get that percentage. So that's why you get a lot of distraught, upset wrestling talent that are like, dude, I'm always the middle of the card, so I'm never getting the big nut paychecks. So I don't think it's a standard salary. I think it's like Shawn Michaels gets X percent of... Yeah, and I mean their t-shirt deals. But again, I mean, have you ever heard of Evan Bourne? He's a wrestler right now, and I assure you he's not making the kind of ducats that big guys are making, you know what I mean? So it's hard to understand. It sounds like Vince McMahon is kind of crooked.
The more I hear about it, know what? I think everyone's known it for a long time. That guy's a fucking weasel, and he's weaseled a lot of people and made a lot of a lot of false promises. And but he's profited from it. So,
and that being said, he is wrestling. You know what I mean? Nobody else. There's TNA now, but come on, I guarantee you, TNA is out of business in a few years. Like
most of them are, yeah.
It's like he's the big gun. What are you going to do? You know what I mean?
It's the WWF, man.
It's like going on The Apprentice and then complaining that Donald yelled at you.
Yeah.
And like, it's his world. Like, Vince McMahon built that shit. It's his universe. If you don't want to be in it, why do you want to be a wrestler? You know, like...
Yeah. Well, that's... Yeah.
But right. It sounds like it's a hard life, man. Like, on average, 340 plus days on the road a year, like...
Yeah, you know, I just those guys should form a union.
Oh, that's I think that's all you hear from certain wrestlers is like union.
But
McMahon's never going to do it. And here's why, because the loophole in the WWE contracts. Again, I don't work for WWE. This is just going on what I've accumulated as knowledge over the years. is he hires them all as essentially independent contractors.
Sure.
So you're not my employee. You work for yourself. I'm just hiring you for certain jobs. So that being said, I don't have to give you benefits. I don't have to cover you. I don't have to... Essentially, yeah. That seems to be the way it works.
But there's other things out there, like collective trade agreements and stuff right. like that, where the wrestlers could.
I think as far together. As Vince is concerned, no go.
Well, you know what? It's the wrestlers' fault for not doing it.
But
they're not setting themselves up properly.
Right. I mean, all of this is allegedly, of course, because we're not, you know, we don't know for sure. But I've even heard that the reason that Macho Man Randy Savage is now never involved in wrestling and probably won't even get put into their Hall of Fame is because of some union related, like Randy Savage tried to get a union started and essentially Vince blacklisted him. But I mean, it's not just Vince. I've heard stories about even like Walmart's closing down entire locations because the employees tried to get a union going. There was a
huge... They did do that in
Montreal, wasn't it?
Yeah, Quebec, somewhere.
So it's... Why would Vince want one? I mean, he should have one, but if it's going to cost him millions of dollars...
Yeah, but he's not going to shut down WWF.
Exactly, and the problem is somebody else will do it. It's like how we talk about...
He's going to get scabs to come in, but he sooner or later, he's going to have to succumb to the pressure of the public, right?
Yeah, but I don't think the public care. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see the public having protests saying give them a union because it's the same deal as we complain about bars don't pay you enough. Mm-hmm. The problem is if I say no, you're going to come in the next day and be like, oh, I'll do it for less. So if you're some guy, if you're some kid, I can see if you're Shawn Michaels, if you're Triple H, if you're the big guns, but if you're some new up and coming in wrestling and you're like, dude, I want a union, Vince is going to fucking throw you out and bring in the next guy who's in line because... It's that kind of career where everybody wants it. So,
not everybody.
You know what
man.
I mean? But anybody who wants to be a wrestler wants to be in WWE. That's the promise.
Sure.
Line. Yeah. So, okay, I'll let you in WWE, but there's no union. You're gonna suck it up because you get to be. You know what I mean? It's tough.
I don't know, man.
It's tough, man.
That is a strange industry.
Absolutely, it's fascinating.
Industry all unto itself.
Like,
it's an anomaly, man. It's not even real.
Like I know,
you know, the whole.
It's so fascinating to me, man. Like I lost interest in wrestling when it went all violence and sex. Like I lost interest, but when I got back into it, I went like deep into it. Like I started reading books by certain guys, and I wanted to know the history because it's a work. I get it; it's not real, but I want to know how it actually works. I wanted to, so I spent time reading books and watching documentaries, and it's fucking fascinating, dude.
It is. It is fascinating. You know, I don't watch it. But it is fascinating.
Yeah.
The documentaries, the behind the scenes
stuff. And of course, it's WWE, so they make it big Hollywood blockbuster documentaries, right? But there is even stuff they'll tell you about like certain wrestlers that hated each other and sometimes would actually go into the ring and scrap a little bit.
Okay.
And then you can find that footage and watch it, and you can tell the difference, man, hands down. When they're actually going at each other, you can see the difference in how they react and shit. Like
when they're looking to hurt each other.
Yeah. Like there was a storyline about not even a storyline. A certain wrestler slept with another wrestler's girlfriend, essentially.
You can name names, man. We don't know these
people. I don't know the names. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, essentially, it's the Hardy brothers, Jeff and Matt Hardy, right? But I can't remember which one it was that it was involved in. But anyway, so let's just say it's Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy has a girlfriend, and she sleeps with somebody else and leaves Matt Hardy for this other dude. So then, of course, Vince McMahon's like, fuck it. You guys are going to have a program together. I'm going to have you wrestle. And apparently... They were going out. They weren't fighting, but they were going out, and every night somebody was taking a hit because somebody would take that quick chance to just give them a quick little sneaky shot and shit. And you can see some of the footage, and every now and again you'll see them just like give them a quick little jab because they had that rage to each other and they wanted to scrap. Like, that's just... It's fast. It's so interesting, man.
Do you remember... I remember the WWE started doing something... Once upon a time, and they were having like real challenges, like like real. I forget. This is going
they did.
Like,
they did a Tough Enough, like a reality show.
Yeah. No. With, not. This is with the actual regular wrestlers, and they would have them go in with like boxing gloves and actually box.
Oh, they do that. They do that kind of thing at WrestleMania usually.
Do they?
They'll do some kind of a gimmick. They call it. So like some boxer, I can't remember his name, will fight Big Show.
No. This was like. I don't know, Shawn Michaels versus Matt Hardy.
But it's a gimmick match.
And no, it was real.
Yeah.
This was like they were really competing. But this is when they were trying to validate that they were still athletes.
Right.
That they could do these things.
Right.
There was a big thing. It was,
But remember, this
the sex and violence
maybe
sort of
this could have been the period when I gave up then, because
probably
I just wasn't into it
at
all.
Look into that.
I will. Absolutely. I'm a big wrestling guy. I enjoy it. Look at that. You know what you hear in the background? Pocket City once again. Yeah, I don't know if we did that at the beginning, did we?
Yes, we did.
The intro song was Pocket City, local Alex Tintinelli.
Yep.
Check him out, pocketcitymusic.com. He was kind enough to allow us to use the tune this week. I texted him and asked him and said, hey, can I use your song for the opening? And he's like, sure, I'll send it to you tomorrow. And I was like, I already have it. Don't worry about that.
Legally acquired.
I got it. Don't worry, man. I already stole it from your website. We're cool. Well, thanks for letting me talk about wrestling, man.
Nah, fuck. It's an ongoing theme with you.
Absolutely it is. Well, it's WrestleMania time, so I'm excited.
Fair enough.
Any closing words of knowledge from the Reverend? Anything?
You know what? I'm pretty chill today. I don't got too much fire in my belly, man. I worked a real job today, so.
That's fair. We're both tired.
Yeah, it's. I'm a lot less angry when I've had to lift, you know, thousands of pounds of rubble.
I'm with you. So. Maybe next week we'll drink before we start, and maybe we'll have some fire in our belly next week.
Let's fire it up. Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe we'll get someone in here.
Maybe.
Kickstart the party a bit.
Maybe. We'll find somebody. We'll find a random special guest.
Let's go out for a beer and see who we can up for next week.
We can rustle up for next week. So that being said, ladies and gentlemen, legendinmypodcast@gmail.com. You can, of course, get us on iTunes. Join us on Facebook. legendinmypodcast.blogspot.com. Check it out. We're all over the place, folks. All right? So,
it's real.
Thanks for joining us once again on Legend in My Spare Time. I'm Matt Lees.
And I'm the Reverend Dam Davies.
Legend in my spare time! Motherfucker!
New announcement to make. I've been holding it in so long, it's making my brain ache. For goodness sake, I just can't take this quake. Give me a shake, and you're gonna make another mistake. These days, rappers never talk about a good point. You saw the guns and cars, you're smoking the joints. I get the point, so don't go get your nose at a joint. That's annoying, all I'm saying is they support disappoint. See, what's the point of making people feel out of the loop? What's the scoop right about life to part of the troops? Please excuse, use the news, that may be a successful source. Use the force to get yourself back on course. Swagger high till you touch the sky better. Recognize till you feel the high air. Hey, oh, hey, oh. Swagger high till you touch the sky better. Recognize till you feel the high air. Change. Hey, hey, we are the, hey, hey, oh, hey. City 2010. Etching in my space time, motherfucker.